Good morning. Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus, producer of New Mexico in Focus on New Mexico PBS, and your host here today. We're focusing on food trucks. Do you regularly visit local food trucks? What are your favorite trucks? And what makes you remember a meal you had at a food truck? Join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. You can also send us your comments through social media. On Twitter, we're KUNM News. Later this hour, we'll hear about the Street Food Institute. That organization runs training programs in collaboration with CNM and the South Valley Economic Development Center. We'll also hear from some local lawmakers who recently worked on ordinances related to food trucks in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. First, let's bring in some food truck owners. We have Josh Rood Ojalva on the line. He's the owner of Irrational Pie. That's a pizza truck with a fun moose logo. Welcome, Josh.
Hi.
And we also have John Katrinik, owner of Subak Foods. John serves up traditional and fusion Korean dishes from his truck. Hey, John.
Morning.
Josh, let's start with you. You had some experience in a restaurant and pizzeria before you started Irrational Pie in January of last year. How is making pizza in a food truck different than a restaurant?
It's a very good question. There's a lot less space, first of all, in the food truck. And because of that, you really just have to limit your menu so you focus on doing one thing really well, a couple things really well, as opposed to having a larger menu of more diverse items that would require more equipment.
And what are you serving right now?
Right now, we're serving our wood-fired pizzas, calzones, cheese bread, dessert calzone, basically anything that we can make in a wood-fired oven as opposed to needing a stovetop or a flat top or a deep fryer or anything like that, just wood-fired.
All right. And John, how is your menu influenced by your own experiences growing up? What do you bring to your truck personally?
For me, it's really about showing people what I ate growing up, showing them the classic Korean dishes, the flavors that really are kind of hard to find in Albuquerque.
And so where do you source your ingredients?
Most of our ingredients, I'm kind of lucky I get to go to Korea.
We're kind of losing you there, John. Let's have our engineer look at that real quick. You did get a shout-out, John, on Twitter. Monica says Subak is her favorite truck. We want to hear from other folks today. 277-5866 in that Albuquerque. That's 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, 866-899-5866. John, can we get you back there?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were talking about sourcing your ingredients. Where do you go to get the foods?
Right. Yeah, usually locally we get them at Talon Market, which they've been really helpful. And then luckily for me, the past 2 years, I've actually gone back to Korea. So I've brought back, Korean peppers for our kimchi, as well as sesame oil and a couple other special ingredients for our marinades and things like that.
Where'd you learn the skills you needed to be successful as a food truck owner?
Luckily for me, I kind of started on another food truck called Good Food Eats Here about 3-4 years ago. I was doing vegetarian vegan cuisine, so kind of got to learn the ropes and see who to talk to get to different locations and kind of see how it runs, which is definitely eye-opening for me.
Josh, what about you? There's a lot of things that food truck owners need to know, not just the food but the business side of things. How'd you learn what you needed to know to run your truck?
A lot of it I got from my restaurant experience. I was really fortunate. I lived in Italy for 2 years and learned to make pizza there. And the owner of the restaurant there is a good friend of mine. So we talked a lot of business, not just food, when I was there and in the ensuing years. So I got a lot of good advice from him.
I think there might be some folks listening who say that sounds like a lot of fun to own a food truck. Sounds really exciting. You get to meet lots of people. What are some of the challenges that you'd warn people of before they started a truck?
There are a lot of challenges. Mostly, it's just a lot of work. Owning a food truck, because of the nature of it, you need to be doing everything yourself. So not only just the food side, but I do the business side as well. So even if you have a day off where you're not out serving, you're going to be doing, the taxes or the ordering or phone calls and emails to set up events. So I think last year it was basically April through October where I didn't have a single day off. So just be ready to put in a lot of time and effort.
And John, speaking of challenges, I understand you've had two generators stolen from your truck recently. What did that mean for your business?
Well, it's, you know, it's definitely not good for business. You know, definitely hurts us. But the great thing is, you know, with the small niche kind of food truck community, other food trucks have actually pitched in. So another food truck actually let me borrow a generator for the moment, which is great. But, you know, it's a challenge. But, you know, everything is a challenge in this business. And you kind of have to be flexible to kind of meet those challenges on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. We want to hear from folks today. Are you a food truck owner, a former food truck owner, or an aspiring food truck owner? Join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. You can also send us your comments through Twitter. We're KUNM News. I'd like to bring in now David Sellers. You're the founder and executive director of the Street Food Institute. We've heard from these owners so far, and there's a lot of things that people need to know in order to be a successful food truck owner. What do you provide at the Street Food Institute?
Well, what we are is a it's essentially an entrepreneurship training program, and we started a year and a half ago at CNM, and now we actually have three arms of the program. It's CNM, the South Valley Economic Development Center, and recently we moved up to Santa Fe. And basically what we provide is, you know, we have food trucks where we teach students how to design menus, how to cook the food, and then we actually put them in real-world situations where we go out and cook in the public. So it's really like a fully encapsulated small business. That's what's, you know, as Josh was saying, that's what's great. And, you know, it's a lot of work, but for a student, it's awesome because you really get to see all aspects of a small business through a food truck. That's why it's such a great model for teaching entrepreneurship.
Yeah, let's get some more into some of the challenges and opportunities in just a moment. I do want to go take a call. We have Carlos in Albuquerque. Carlos, I understand you have a question for us today.
Yes, thanks for having me. Yeah, I have attempted to buy food from trucks, and my experience is somewhere more expensive. And I say to myself, for that matter, let's just go to like a Taco Bell or a Dollar Menu restaurant. And I was wondering, you know, I mean, do they pay rent where they set up? And also, I also want to ask, how often do they get checked to make sure that the food is being kept safe for the public?
Yeah. Two questions there that I think David can definitely answer. David, go first with the cost.
One I would say is that food trucks do actually have quite a high overhead behind. Besides, I mean, they don't pay rent in a building, but it's quite expensive to buy a food truck and set one up. Labor costs are quite high for, you know, the size of business, because the reality is they just don't generate a huge amount of income compared to a regular restaurant. So that plays into the cost thing, of course. And then, you know, the other thing I would say is that the food, comparing Taco Bell to food truck, isn't really a very good comparison, because Taco Bell is like mass produced, like terrible food, whereas food trucks, and certainly what we're doing, is we're trying to use really wholesome local ingredients. We sort of consider ourselves a fast food alternative, because we try to keep within the same realm of price. It's only a couple bucks more, but we're using local ingredients, a lot of organics, and nothing like, you know, irradiated beef like McDonald's or Taco Bell or anything like that. So,
what about inspections? That's also a question we got on Twitter, is how often are trucks getting inspected? What's that process like?
You know, there's been studies actually that food trucks are actually far cleaner than most restaurants. There was a national study done last year where they score on average 30% higher than restaurants, basically nationwide, as far as cleanliness goes, as far as the point system goes. Usually it's points out of 100. And so basically they have the same, you know, licensing and regulations as restaurants, which you basically get a yearly, you know, environmental permit, which is environmental health permit. And then you also get visited regularly by inspectors in the field. You know, a lot of special events, they just come out. Most restaurants, at least, I'm not sure what the actual regulation is in Albuquerque for, but in Santa Fe, you get visited once a year, essentially, unless there's some sort of a complaint. We get inspected probably 10 times a year. And then not only that, the food trucks are smaller, so it's actually easier to keep them clean. So most people are actually quite diligent about cleaning them. Our food trucks are, you know, extremely clean. And then the other thing as well is that a lot of restaurants in the area, both in Santa Fe and in Albuquerque, are in these sort of small building, old building type environments, where you really have much higher problems with, or much larger problems with rodents such as cockroaches, mice, and stuff like that. And food trucks, it's basically a non-issue as long as you're even reasonably clean, but most are very clean.
Thanks for that call, Carlos. We are taking other calls today with comments and questions about food trucks. Do you have concerns about food trucks? Do you have questions about starting a food truck? Give us a call, 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. John, one of the things that I've thought about for food trucks is with that small truck there, it can be hard to buy ingredients in bulk, which really does bring down the cost and help you provide an affordable product to the customer. How do you get around that?
Well, one of the great things is we've partnered with the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. So they've actually provided space. So it's actually Josh is parked here with us as well as two other food trucks. So they have storage for us. They have fridges for us, which kind of enables us, like you said, to buy in bulk and, you know, to cut down those costs.
What are some other lessons you've learned as a food truck owner that you'd pass on to other folks?
You know, just be ready. You know, it's 100 degrees in the summer, super cold at night, during the winter as well. So just, you know, be ready for everything and make sure that it's something that you're really passionate about and want to do.
And you do it anyway. John Kotrnik from Subak Foods, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks.
We have another aspiring food truck owner here in the studio with us. Jocelyn Gutierrez is a graduate of the Street Food Institute. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And I understand that you had a food truck before. You closed it down. You went and got some education, some skill building through the Street Food Institute. And you're getting ready to open a truck again. What have you learned in recent months?
Well, it's been quite a challenge. Like I said, I started off only minimal, just high school culinary experience. Went through, just jumped right into the Shark Tank with my truck. I didn't know anything about food, cost, anything like that. So going through the culinary program at CNM, my last term was when the Street Food Institute was starting. So it was almost destined to happen. Going through the Street Food Institute program just reassured me that I was in the place where I wanted to be, because it's such a personal feeling to be out there selling to the people. They can see what you're doing. You take the order, you make the order. So it's such a nice feeling to be in it again. But the challenges that I faced are challenges that are going to probably happen again and again. So it's just all about how you deal with the challenges, what you learned. And I learned a tremendous amount through Street Food Institute. So I plan on using that knowledge, skills, and abilities this time to go out and just go to a whole nother level.
What are some of the challenges you face specifically?
Well, for instance, one day I was driving and my axle broke on my truck. So that's basically what put me out. So there's plenty of big challenges, but that was the big one for me, was my truck actually breaking down. So, fortunately, my brother's really good and he got it fixed for me. But, that's not always the case for everybody. So that could have really just put me out right there out of my whole business. So it's just all about persevering. My passion is way more than anything that can stop me. So you really got to have the drive, literally.
We'll hear from you more this hour. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. This is
the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Today, our focus is food trucks. Do you feel drawn to the food truck industry? Do you have questions about what it's like to run a food truck? We have some food truck owners here with us on the show today, and also David Sellers, founder and executive director of the Street Food Institute here in New Mexico. You can join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. You can also email us your comments and questions, callinshow@kunm.org. We're going to go to a break right now. We'll be back in just a moment.
Support comes from the New Mexico Jazz Workshop, presenting Blues Under the Stars this Saturday, June 11th, with Joni and Combo Special and the Pleasure Pilots. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. at the Albuquerque Museum. Tickets at the door or at holdmyticket.com.
Support comes from the African American Performing Arts Center, hosting the Homemade Jams Blues Band with opening act Todd Tijerina, Saturday, August 1st at 7. Info about the Blues Festival fundraiser at 222-0785.
This Saturday, Albuquerque's Nob Hill hosts Route 66 Summerfest, a day-long bounty of music, crafts, food, classic cars, and kids' events. Join KUNM from 7 to 10 p.m. for highlights of our local musical acts from the main stage and live sets from the headliners. That's Saturday night starting at 7 p.m. only on KUNM and KUNM.org.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Food trucks are popular around the U.S. What do you think is different about our food truck scene here in New Mexico? 277-5866. We've been talking with some food truck owners about some of the challenges and opportunities of owning a truck. I'd like to get a little more into some of the local regulations. That's definitely part of owning a business. And I'd like to now welcome Albuquerque City Councilor Isaac Benton to the show. Councilor Benton has proposed some new regulations for Albuquerque food trucks. Thanks for being with us, Councilor.
Happy to be here.
We also have Santa Fe City Councilor Signe Lindell on the line. Councilor Lindell sponsored a local ordinance to open up more permits for food trucks and allow a limited number of trucks to park near the plaza in Santa Fe. Welcome, Councilor Lindell.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us all today. What a great topic.
Councilor Lindell, why are food trucks an important part of economic development for you right now in Santa Fe?
Well, food trucks in Santa Fe offer people and all over the country, I mean, they offer some entrepreneurial types an opportunity to try out an idea for less money and less commitment than what it would be for a bricks and mortar type of a restaurant. And what we've actually seen in Santa Fe is that we've got at least one restaurant that started out from doing food truck type of things and pop-up type of restaurants. And I think that it is an absolute pathway to becoming a brick and mortar restaurant. But in their own right, they do bring their own economic development. These trucks draw a crowd.
That's one of the things that I thought was interesting in some of the local media coverage is that Mayor Gonzalez says this is kind of a way to make the plaza a little bit hipper, bring out some young folks. Do you agree with him on that?
Well, I'm happy to tell you that I was I purchased the first tacos from the Food Institute the first night that they were down by the plaza. And I'll tell you what, the trucks that are down by the plaza, it is busy, and it brings people. You know, we have our music series in the summer, music almost every night on the plaza. The plaza has a ton of people on it, and having the food trucks is terrific.
You know, there was some debate, though. I don't want people to think that this just sailed all the way through. There was a lot of discussion and debate about fairness for food carts versus food trucks on the plaza. Also for restaurants in the area that want, you know, want there to be some discussion about competition and what that means and fees and things like that. Tell me a little bit about how you negotiated those discussions and heard from both sides.
Oh, sure. We do have, pardon me, within our ordinance that food trucks need to be 150 feet away from the street level entrance of any restaurant. So we did put some protections in for brick and mortar restaurants. As far as the food vendors on the plaza, of which we have six, that's kind of a different thing. You know, they rent that space. They have that space every day. The food trucks, we only have three spaces, and they can roll up, and if they're one of the first three there, they can use that space. So there's no guarantee that there's a space for them on any given night. So it really was kind of two different things. Once we explained it to people, I think that it was much clearer that the food vendors on the plaza, they have an absolute space. It's their space every day. They rent that space from us.
And if folks are listening today in Santa Fe and they want to comment about this new ordinance, you can give us a call at 277-5866 or 866-899-5866. Councilor Benton, here in Albuquerque, you've proposed some new regulations for food trucks. Where did that proposal come from? What are your concerns?
Well, I had some complaints from folks. This is particularly downtown, going back a few years of food trucks and mobile food units setting up directly in front of brick and mortar restaurants. And, you know, as hard as we strive to keep brick and mortar restaurants downtown and have them be successful, I thought it was something that was worth it, paying attention to. So we started looking into it, looking into other cities throughout the country of how they regulate, including Santa Fe, and came up with something that I think is really going to be beneficial to the food truck industry. It's going to recognize them as a use in our zoning code, and it's going to kind of describe how they operate when they're parked in a city right away.
We did invite the New Mexico Restaurant Association to join us. They weren't able to on this show, but they did say that those concerns were about the parking and the proximity to brick-and-mortar restaurants.
Right.
David Sellers from Street Food Institute, are street food vendors generally okay with this? Are they feeling like that this is going to be a proposal that's going to work for them?
Well, as far as the distance from the restaurants go, I think that's pretty much a non-issue with the food trucks. I mean, most food trucks that I know, you know, it's sort of this sort of unwritten code that it's not really a great thing to park directly in front of a restaurant, you know. So everybody pretty much stays away. I know there was some of that in Albuquerque a few years ago, but, you know, generally everybody tries to, you know, make it a community between both the restaurants and the food trucks where, you know, everybody can get along together and just all cook great food, you know, and... You know, as far as the competition side goes, I mean, the nature of competition to me is that it always raises the bar for food. And in both Albuquerque and Santa Fe, I think, you know, the more good food there is, the better in the area. And, you know, they're both very much foodie towns. And, you know, it just increases, you know, the reputation of the areas for good food.
Councilor Benton, Councilor Lindell from Santa Fe mentioned a few moments ago kind of turning people out for food trucks. I know there's now food trucks parking on Civic Plaza on Tuesdays, lots of places around town. Does the city council here in Albuquerque see it as an economic development model, as a tool for getting people to turn out to events or to different parts of the city?
Absolutely. And, you know, food trucks really contribute to kind of vibrancy of our commercial areas. As well, you know, when you think about just the liveliness of having a food truck seen on the street in a commercial type area is very beneficial. So, yeah, we love food trucks, love the whole dynamic of what's going on and people being able to launch a business via a food truck. So very much in favor of all of that. One thing that the bill does is it recognizes the use and therefore recognizes the use on private property. So previously it was ambiguous as to how many food trucks or how they would operate when they're allowed to be, you know, when an owner says, yeah, sure, let them set up on my parking lot or on a private property. We had that up in the International District, but that was through just one sector plan. So this would apply and allow food trucks citywide on private property with the permission of the owner.
And is that one of those things that you got from looking at other cities? Maybe, say, Portland has a big food truck scene, mm-hmm. Seattle, Los Angeles?
Yeah, so I think, once an industry becomes successful, we have to accept there's going to be some sort of regulation. So this is not different from any other regulation. Originally, there was some talk about, since they're taking up parking spaces and taking up space in the city right away, and in some cases, places where they're parking meters, that there should be some sort of parking fee. We got feedback on that, and we've eliminated that in the new floor substitute that's being considered.
And the ordinance, is it going to come up for a vote in the city council soon, you think?
It will be before the Land Use Planning and Zoning Committee one more time in August, and after that should go to the full council. I think we worked out most of the kinks.
All right. Councilor Benton, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Councilor Lindell, what's next for Santa Fe as far as food trucks?
I couldn't hear you. Say one more time.
What's next for Santa Fe? Do you think there's going to be any additional changes or developments?
You know, we're going to review this ordinance in 6 months, around October. But, you know, I think that it's been successful. In our ordinance, we did allow people, you know, regularly our parking meters are for 2 hours, and we extended that to 3 hours on the food trucks. You know, we've kind of seen with, in our downtown area, where we have so many people in the evening on the plaza, you know, we don't have that many food outlets that are kind of quick, get something and continue to walk around. And I don't think that in terms of the downtown restaurants that we have people that have made reservations for a couple of hours sit-down meal that see a food truck and go, oh, I'm going to cancel my reservation. I think this is working out just the way we would have liked it to. So will there be changes? There could be. But so far, it seems to me, and I think that you have some of our local folks there on the show with you, they would say that they would think it's working out pretty well.
All right. Councilor Lindell, thanks for being with us today.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having us. And like I said, it's really a great topic, and it's one that's worth talking about pretty much in every town in this state. So thanks for bringing it to the forefront.
Absolutely. We are focusing a bit so far this hour in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, but we know we have listeners in smaller communities, Socorro, Taos, Española. Are there food trucks popping up in your area? Call in and tell us about them, 277-5866 or 866-899-5866. David, the Street Food Institute operates in both Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Is it really similar in the things you have to do to operate in both of those cities, or are they different? We've got some different permitting in each city. Is one more challenging than the other?
Yeah, what I would say is that they're totally different. I mean, now that the first thing is that in Albuquerque, the food truck scene is way more developed. There's you know, it's been going on for longer. The regulations were easier to deal with as far as getting licensing. Santa Fe in general, unfortunately, has had a reputation of being difficult to license new businesses and whatnot, and that's part of what this these new ordinances is helping to alleviate.
There's literally more permits available now.
There's more permits, and then you actually have to get less permits. It's kind of a complicated story, but before, you had to, there was quite a few hoops to jump through as far as you had to get a business license, and then you had to have a locational permit for each spot you park, and then special events permits, and it was a lot of running around, and also a big expense. And now, with these new ordinances, basically you can get one permit, and it's pretty much encapsulating of all things. Now it's two, actually. There's one for just a general mobile permit, and then also a special permit for specifically parking on the plaza. So it's still – this just happened like a month ago. So it's really – so far it's already made it a lot easier for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We have another call. Cliff in Albuquerque has a question for us. Cliff, what's your question today?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if the vendors have found that it's better to change up their menu to keep it fresh or new, or if they find that it's better to have the same things on their menu for their clientele.
Good question. David?
What I would say is that there's like a couple different things. Like the way we run our food truck is different than a lot of other food trucks in the area. Since we're a teaching, sort of program, we change the food a lot, like all the time. Like we're just constantly changing, like doing all different kinds of specials, different kind of regions, different kind of street foods from around the world. That's sort of one model. And then the other model is you have, where you're basically known for that one, that one thing, whether you're like the grilled cheese guy or whatever. And then that's, I think there's space for both. They're both, concentrating on the one thing and making it totally awesome is absolutely fantastic. And then, the other way is great as well. But, the key thing is that if you have, which is starting to happen here, is if you have, even if you have a lot of those people that are concentrating on that one great thing, you start getting clusters of food trucks, and then you still have this amazing sort of variety to choose from. And then that's part of the fun of the whole thing is that you can go, and try a bunch of different things.
And how do you tell your students how to kind of sell their story about their food truck and why they serve a certain type of food?
Well, we encourage them to definitely, part of our program is that we have them develop a concept, within the class and whatnot. And we work with them throughout the semester when we're doing it on developing the concept and making it, unique and whatnot. And then as well, we have like these contests in our classes where they'll have dishes from their concept. And then the winners will get on the food truck and try it out. So they really get to pilot, really kind of get a little test run of their stuff. And we're working on developing that even more, where we would have a food truck as an example where, a student who may be particularly close to or have a really fleshed out concept could actually pilot their whole concept on the food truck. And the food truck would maybe, for a week or so be, the falafel truck, because that's the guy, that's his concept or whatever. So we're working towards that right now.
Cool. Yeah. We have an email comment from Charlie in Albuquerque. He said, Albuquerque should allow landowners to rent spaces in their land and provide additional amenities, the water, hookups, etc. But they should limit the residential areas so as to not expose people to diesel and grease fumes. Do many food trucks set up in residential areas, David, right now?
I think that's fairly limited, actually. I think for most of it, it's in the industrial areas. I mean, one thing we do a lot of is we do a lot of catering. So we do a lot of private events. So I think that's, you know, that's a big portion of our you know, our income essentially. You know, last year we did about 40% of our total sales was catering. So a lot of times those will be in private areas, but I wouldn't say that's a thing where there's like 10 trucks pulling up on a street, you know what I mean, and causing a lot of noise pollution and stuff. Usually that's private residences or like in a backyard or whatnot. At least that's my experience. And that was part of what the original counselor was saying about the residential area, sort of the right of way, whatnot. That's part of what's on the docket as far as changing the regulations down here in Albuquerque.
Yeah. Josh from Irrational Pie, do we still have you with us? Josh, you there?
There? Yeah. I am here.
Josh, a lot of food truck owners are you know, have to make decisions about where to go so folks can find them. Where do you park your truck on a regular basis?
We have a regular rotation with a lot of breweries in town. That's actually been a very mutually beneficial relationship we've had. So, for example, on Wednesdays, we're at Red Door Brewery. On Saturdays, we're up at Marble on the west side. Sundays, we're at Marble Brewery downtown. One of our favorite events, though, and this goes with your last question to Dave, is that on Tuesdays, we're at Hyder Park in Knob Hill. And it is a residential area, but we park on the side of the street that's not in front of the houses, that's on the park. And it's just like a giant picnic that we have for everybody every Tuesday night with free yoga, live music. So we do have our regular locations, but we also do events and caterings, like Dave said, so it does change fairly frequently.
Yeah. It is very common now to see those food trucks around the breweries in town, and the craft brewery scene in New Mexico is just incredible and
yeah,
huge.
Absolutely.
I want to hear from folks today. Do you go to the brewery and try out food from food trucks? What's that like for you? What's your favorite trucks? Where do you make sure to go every week so you can check out what's going on with those trucks? 277-5866. I also want to hear what's missing in the food truck scene in Albuquerque or Santa Fe. David Sellers from the Street Food Institute was saying just a moment ago that folks can have any kind of focus. They can meet a niche. And I want to hear what you want to see on the next food truck in Albuquerque. I personally would love to see a Malaysian food truck. I came here from Seattle. That's a cuisine you just don't see a lot in Albuquerque, but I always make sure to see who's doing something new in Seattle when I go back and visit. Again, our number 277-5866. You can also email your comments to callinshow@kunm.org. David, you work with students, and where are those students coming from? What kind of background do they have when they come into your program?
There's really a wide variety. You know, our first you know, sort of venture was partnering with CNM. And within CNM, the culinary program, there's really a wide, you know, a huge demographic of students. There's younger kids, there's older career changers, there's people who have a lot of restaurant experience, people who have zero. So it's all over the place. Our second arm, which we did in the South Valley Economic Development Center, that's been a little more focused. Most of them are a little bit older, people that are a little more focused on trying to start their own business, so they're coming in with like a little more of an idea of what they want to do. And then in Santa Fe, that culinary program is a, you know, it's a fraction of the size of the one at CNM, and that one is actually a lot of younger type students, more traditional what you think of as college, like people who go from high school directly to college. I mean, there's a few older students, but for the most part, they're a lot younger. So it's really just all across the board.
How challenging is it for people to make a living running a food truck? I mean, I know restaurants have really tight profit margins. Are food trucks the same?
Oh, absolutely. It's a very tight profit margin. You know, and a lot of, you know, like I said before, the reality is compared to a brick and mortar restaurant, they really don't generate a ton of income. So, you know, the margins are very tight. It's very difficult to really make a lot of money. You know, I know some friends of mine who have food trucks in other cities, you know, like you said, in Seattle or Portland, or I have a friend who has a food truck in Houston. There's just so many more people. Like, they can do, you know, 2-3 times the business that food trucks do here. So that in those areas, you can really like crank out a lot more money. But here, what it seems to be is great is, you know, the sort of pre brick and mortar thing where you can get out there, you know, try your concept out, flesh it out, get a following essentially, and then potentially move on to start a restaurant.
Is there a way to improve that? Is it social media? Is it getting folks out to events? What's the way to help make it possible for food trucks to be more successful?
Well, I mean, I think it's rolling down the right path right now. I mean, even in the last 2 or 3 years, especially in Albuquerque, it's just blown up. I mean, there's probably 5 times as many food trucks even just as 2 years ago. So it's definitely rolling down the right track. There's been a lot of, events, you know, more sponsored events. There's been two food truck rallies at the Balloon Fiesta Park this year, a lot more. You know, the breweries, of course, have helped, you know, a huge amount in pushing the food truck scene. So, I mean, I think it's going great. I mean, Santa Fe comparatively is still in its infancy, but it's kind of starting to go in the same direction.
And Jocelyn, you're going to be reopening your food truck Pink Ladies. Sounds really challenging. What are you doing to help yourself prepare right now?
Well, right now I'm just getting all my permits and everything, making sure that I have all, you know, the legality issues done. Then I get to move to the fun part, which is making, well, I have my set menu, like you said, and that plays into that question from earlier. I have a lot of people who like my set menu, and I call those my oldies but goodies. And then I have my fusion, my specials and everything. So right now what I'm just doing, my permits, getting new equipment, and making a fun menu.
And you do New Mexican food. You worried some people are going to say, that's not the right way to do it.
No, I do it really good. So it's people want me. Pink Ladies, look out for us. We'll be on a block near you real soon.
How are you planning for social media? Some of the folks we've had on today, Irrational Pie, Subak Foods, they do a lot of social media to get the word out about where they're going to be. Is that going to be part of your business plan as well?
Yes, absolutely. And for me, the biggest thing is word of mouth. People spread everything so fast. If you did good, people are going to hear about it. If you did bad, people are going to hear about it. So I'll definitely be using social media, Facebook, Twitter, everything. But word of mouth is also a great way to get the word out.
And Josh from Irrational Pie, what do you think about that? How do you use social media to get the word out about your truck?
You, of course, have to post preferably the night before about where you're going to be the next day, if not that morning. Definitely put some pictures up of yourself setting up, getting ready, making food, events that you're at, just staying on top of it, keeping yourself in the forefront of people's mind and Facebook page or whatever it is. Just as much as you can, keep yourself out there and relevant.
And are you doing that all yourself, or do you have someone help you?
I do a lot of it myself. My wife helps a good bit as well. She's much better at it than I am. I'm kind of a anti-social media, at least personally, but I definitely see the use in it for the business. So I embrace it for that sense.
One last question for you, Josh. What's your advice that you'd like to leave for people who are aspiring food truck owners?
You really have to make sure you want to do it. Talk with the people that it is going to affect, because, like I said earlier, it's a huge time commitment. So it's not just you that's going to be involved in this, but if you have a significant other, kids, family members, whatever it is, whoever it may be, it's going to affect them as well. So make sure they're part of the decision. And the most important thing I found is just be consistent. Be consistent with your food, your relationships with your customers and the business owners and event organizers you work with, and in where you park, and showing up regularly on time, being ready, and just being consistent. People will show up if you can follow that.
All right. Josh, thanks so much for joining us today. We're going to put a link to Irrational Pie at KUNM.org, also a link to Subak Foods. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. There's still time to call in and join our conversation about food trucks. If you want to give a shout-out to your favorite truck, let folks know where they're going to be this week, where they might be in future weeks. Our number is 277-5866 or 866-899-5866. You can also find KUNM News on Twitter and get in touch with us by emailing callinshow@kunm.org. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Skip the hassle of finding a buyer for that old vehicle, especially if it's going to cost a lot to get it ready to sell. If you have anything with an engine, we'll spare you the hassle and expense. Plus, you'll get a tax deduction, a KUNM membership, and you'll feel so good knowing that your donation is helping to keep this program on the air. It's so easy. Call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Youth Media Project presents Audio Revolution, mixtape number 5. Stories created by youth at Global Leadership Forum 2014, an annual program held at United World College near Las Vegas, New Mexico. We invite you to listen to how these young people from every corner of the globe came into their own power, discovered their potential, and claimed their uniqueness in this world. Tune in this Friday at 8 a.m. on KUNM 89.9 FM.
I'm Sarah Gustavus. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Again, our number 277-586 or 866-899-5866. I'd like to bring in John Titchford, owner of JP's Custard Cart. He's owned the truck for 9 years. They set up at events like Summerfest, wine and barbecue festivals. And on other weekends, you can find them at the corner of 4th and Osuna. Welcome, John.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
John, I got to ask, it is hot outside in the summer. What kind of equipment do you need to keep a dessert cold on a food truck while you're out in the sun?
Well, that's the bad part for us. Everything that makes frozen desserts cold makes us hot. And so we have coolers, our ice cream machine that we make the frozen custard with, we have on board. And all of that generates heat, the coolers and the freezers. And so we're constantly battling to keep ourselves cool and the product cool as well.
Absolutely. We talked a little bit earlier about making decisions about, you know, what kind of product to serve and how to market yourself. You just sell in the summer. And how did you come to that business decision?
Being with the ice cream and the frozen desserts, people don't want ice cream as much in Albuquerque in the winter as they do in the summer. So we just basically limit ourselves from March through October.
Yeah. Did you consider offering some kind of other desserts in the winter instead of ice cream?
We did, but frozen custard is in our blood, and it's our passion, and that's what we do best. So we decided just to keep it at that.
Absolutely. What are some lessons you've learned after nearly a decade in business with your food truck?
You have to keep it simple, like Josh was saying earlier, and you have to find what you do, keep it consistent, keep it simple, and be able to get it out the window quickly and have a very good product.
Absolutely. John from JP's Custard Cart, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
And we'll put a link to your website on our website, KUNM.org. Folks can find that by searching for the Call-In Show under the News tab. Let's go now to Rico in Albuquerque. Rico, you have a question for us.
Yes, I spoke to a few food trucks so far, and you know, I understand that in Albuquerque you have to be tied to a kitchen, a licensed kitchen, in order to operate. Are majority of the food trucks going down the South Valley, or is there other sources that you have available to you for your legal kitchen? And if not, what would you be looking for in one to be tied to? And where? Because I'm working right now on making a commissary kitchen to be able to support food trucks. I love the concept. And also I want to be able to put a lot of spots together, kind of like they did the Bloom Fiesta, but more organized and more local to help out our food truck family. So, you know, that's basically where I'm coming from. Just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Great question. David Sellers from the Street Food Institute.
Yeah, I mean, what we look for, I mean, for a commissary kitchen, I would say, you know, kind of what Josh and John do over there, they have a commissary kitchen that's a shared space, and that seems to work really well for food trucks. You know, you can get a small commissary kitchen that has a lot of, you know, sufficient equipment and refrigeration. What you're looking for is a shared space, because what that does is that reduces the expense for the food trucks, because you already have, you know, a very tight sort of margin as it is. And then, of course, like I said, refrigeration. And then the third is, you know, electrical hookups, and even, you know, what would be really great, which most places don't have, is a gray water dumping thing. That's a big issue with food trucks, because, you know, you wash dishes and whatnot, and all the food trucks essentially have a gray water tank, which you have to dump on a regular basis. And, you know, there's some spots where you can do it, some where you can't. You know, there's been issues with that in Albuquerque, and it's an expense if you go to a place, a lot of places you have to pay to do it. So that would be a great thing for commissary kitchens to have.
Excellent. We also have Destiny on the line in Albuquerque. I asked for some shout outs for food trucks. Destiny, what do you want to say?
I just wanted to say that me and my family go to Tasty Tuesdays on Tuesday, and we go eat at the Street Food Institute. That's our favorite truck, and my auntie Jocelyn works on that truck, and it's really yummy.
Hey,
yeah.
Baby.
That's it, Hyder Park. It is a great event. Thanks for calling in today, Destiny.
Thank you.
We also have Clifton in Albuquerque with another question today. Clifton, what do you have for us?
Great show this morning. Thank you. I work with a group called Keep It Kirky. We encourage everybody to try to shift more of their spending into local businesses. And so we love the food trucks. They are great entrepreneurial arrivals on the scene, raising the food bars you've discussed. And so they're a wonderful opportunity for all of us to feel a great deal of confidence that we are buying local when we do business with a food truck. And I think that the model of low-cost entry competition is pretty fascinating and important for new entrepreneurial age. And I'm curious to know if your food truck folks are aware of new categories that this kind of low-cost entry model might be entering into. I know there's a mobile canner for the beer industry, for example.
That's true. David, how does this fit into the bigger picture for this kind of entrepreneurial development in Albuquerque?
Well, I mean, the low-cost entry point, I think, is the key. I mean, and what we do with our program is that, it's not necessarily even about starting food trucks. I mean, it is, but it's really what it is small business, formation. So, like, it could go on, just as he said, a canning business, especially particularly at the SVEDC in the South Bowery where we do our second arm of the program. We really don't even focus on necessarily the food truck being the concept. It could be value-added products. It could be, a small food business, a coffee shop, burrito stand. It could be anything. So
what's value-added?
Value-added is, like, as an example, like a canned thing, like he was saying, whether your product is, salsa company or jellies or whatever, any of those sort of small business things sort of fall under the umbrella of what we're doing, because really that's what I love so much about the food truck thing is that you see all aspects of that small business. So it applies to a wide variety of small businesses.
We got some comments on Twitter. We asked folks their favorite food trucks. Someone said Subak Foods is my favorite. Also a comment, pair Irrational Pie with Marble Brewery beer. That's a match made in heaven. If you want to tell us your favorite food trucks, you can get in touch with us by Twitter. We're KUNM News. Or comment on our Facebook page, KUNM Radio. You can let us know who we should be checking out in the future. Jocelyn, I want to ask you, this we're talking about economic development, which can have a huge impact on an individual, on a family. What's your story? What do you hope that owning your truck is going to mean for you personally and your family?
Well, personally, I'm not saying I don't want money, but for me, it's I want to be able to do kind of a program like what Street Food Institute is doing. Is any of the students that kind of wean off the program here, I want them to know that they can come to me, and if they want experience on a different type of truck, see a different flow, and that goes all the way around. I have a huge family, so my cousins, my nieces, my nephews, I think it's a huge starting point for them. Whether they want it to be culinary or a different type of business, this is a great way for them to see, what hard work will do for them.
That's New Mexico. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
David, one thing we haven't mentioned so far this hour is, what does it cost? I mean, I know there can be a range, but what kind of numbers are we talking about for starting up a food truck?
You're right. It is a huge range of costs. It could be anything. I've seen, basically the cheaper trucks, the people that I've seen start off on more of a shoestring budget or kind of do-it-yourselfers, a lot of them may be contractors and they're doing it as a second job. I know one guy in town who put together a truck from start to finish and it's really nice for like about $10,000, which is shockingly cheap. But he did everything himself. He did all the electric, he did all the water, he did everything. A fully functional food truck you could buy anywhere from, I've seen them as low as $20,000 that are pretty good, all the way up to $200,000. So it's a giant range of possibility there as far as cost goes. And then that's just the hardware. And then you also need the other money to get going as well.
Do you see us someday really being like Portland or some of the cities where there's a big food truck scene?
We'll see. It's one of those things. You just got to kind of wait and see. The advantage that they have over us is they have much more population density. So really the key to food trucks, if you're not doing private events, is you have to have that sort of population density where you got a lot of people walking by or whatnot. But, the food truck scene here is snowballing. So it's certainly going in that direction. I mean, like I said earlier, it's five times the size it was even 2 years ago. So
we talked a little bit about economic development, that impact it can have on the community. What about health? I mean, I think a lot of folks think about food trucks as being, they can have a lot of junk food in them, but some of them actually are thinking about health and thinking about local ingredients. What role is Street Food Institute playing in that?
That's a big part of our mission, actually. And we're maybe a little more complex than the average food truck just because we're a nonprofit and we have multiple sort of missions. One is One is this sort of entrepreneurship training thing. The other one is, you know, the sort of fast food alternative side, which, you know, as I was saying earlier with the you know, the Taco Bell Colin person, is that, you know, really most food trucks, really what it's all about is just serving great food that's wholesome, you know, and we're trying to serve a super high quality product. You know, we actually do kind of try to stay away from the super fatty foods. You know, it's like some food trucks do stuff like you see at the State Fair, like deep fried Oreos and all that stuff. Obviously, that's not very, yeah, not very healthy. But we use a lot of local product. We have a huge alliance with Agricultura Network, who is a nonprofit CSA that's out of the South Valley. So we use a lot of their produce. We also do a lot of sort of health slash teaching initiatives. We have a monthly event at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, which we, it's called Salud y Sabor. It's actually tonight. We have one tonight. And what we do is we use local produce, and then we'll serve it off of the truck. And then we also, you know, show people how to cook it. We'll do cooking demonstrations with all local stuff. We just started a new initiative, which is called the Veggie Van, which we're teaming up with the, Bernalillo County with, where we're going around to food deserts with Agricultura. We have three different spots that we stop in, and then we basically sell local produce at a highly discounted cost. And then the same thing where we'll have a recipe that'll highlight one of those things that we're selling, and it'll just basically teach people, you know, how to cook local food. You know, which a lot of people don't like. They don't get it. You know, it's that sort of Taco Bell mentality. It's easier just to go down the street, you know, as opposed to it's just a, you know, unfortunately that, you know, sort of home cooking thing has changed for the very worse over the last sort of three generations. And we're really trying to bring that back where it's, you know, it's so easy to get this sort of local produce, local food. There's so, and it's also just spending locally, you know. Encouraging the local economy. We have these wonderful farmers down here that, you know, the more produce they sell, the more they'll be for everybody, you know.
Justin, do you think you're going to be able to source your food in kind of the same way?
Oh, absolutely. All of my food comes from, I love the Agricultura Network. I participate in the CSA program where weekly we get a fresh box of absolutely wonderful veggies. So, yes, I'm going to be using as much local fresh food as I can. That's my aim, yes.
David, any kind of final advice or words of wisdom you want to leave with folks who are interested in the food truck industry?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is, you know, it's something, and we kind of touched on a couple minutes ago, we didn't really talk about it very much. I mean, really the bottom line is that it's about the passion for cooking, you know, and really turning out good food. And that's the key to whether you're a chef in the restaurant business or a chef of a food truck. You have to have that passion to be able to really try to put out awesome food and have your whole soul totally behind it. And that's what I would say. Like, if you're going to go into some sort of food truck business, you have to be able to, you know, really put it out there.
And have a business plan behind it.
Correct.
We'll put a link up to the Street Food Institute on our website, KUNM.org. Search for the Call-In Show under the News tab. We'll also have links to the food trucks that called in today that we heard about and links to their Twitter accounts as well if you want to follow where they are around town. Thanks to everyone who joined the conversation today. Elaine Baumgartel is the executive producer. Jefferson White was our engineer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls today. I'd also like to thank Tina Garcia-Shams, Community Relations Director for the Street Food Institute, for her assistance before the broadcast. I'm Sarah Gustavus, your host today for the KUNM Call-In Show, also the producer of New Mexico in Focus on New Mexico PBS, which airs Friday nights at 7 o'clock.